Good evening to everybody. The second half of Parsha Shmini discusses at great length the halachas of kosher and treif animals, both animals as well as fish, as well as birds, and the simanim, the signs of a kosher animal, kosher birds, and kosher fish. I'd like to address a different and related topic to kosher and non-kosher animals, and that's a timely topic and a contemporary topic. What about doing business, commerce, with non-kosher animals? Are there any limitations? Is it permitted simply to trade, sell horses and pig? How about giving gift of not kosher to a non-Jew? Gift certificates and the like. Although we are familiar with the simanim and the simani kashrus, so are there limitations that are placed upon our relationship with non-kosher food? Certainly we can't eat non-kosher birds, fish, and animals. But is there any limitation in terms of what else we are permitted or prohibited in the propriety, of course, of business, commerce, and gifting non-kosher animals and like is the topic of tonight's shir. Siman Kuf Yudayin Yeradeya is the address for this question. The topic and the title of the siman is Shlo La'asos Schora Midaber Isser, that one is prohibited for doing commerce and business with Dvarim Asurim, specifically animals that are prohibited. And there are many contemporary applications to this today, and those are the things that we would like to address this evening. The Gemara in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Chof Gimel on the base quotes a pasuk in our parsha, Parsha Shmini, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, which doesn't seem to address this question, but Chazal there in Maseches Pesachim understand that indeed this is the source of the prohibition to do schora with Dvarim HaAsurim. The pasuk says, V'sheket yu lachem, that it will be an abomination to eat any non-kosher fish. Mibsarim lo sochelu, you should not eat their flesh. Ves nivlosam tishaketu, and their carcasses shall be revolting to you, and they should not be eaten at all. However, the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that the word yihyu, it shall be, teaches us behavayosan yihyu. Not only is it prohibited to eat, and not only is it prohibited and is it an abomination to eat and to these non-kosher fish, but the Gemara understands the havayasan yu, that even holding on to them or having them or selling them and trading them, doing business and commerce with non-kosher is also prohibited. So this pasuk seems to, at least according to some Rishonim, be understood as a issur d'oraita, a biblical prohibition to trade and to do commerce and business with non-kosher animals. It seems to be explicit pasuk, and that's what Chazal understand and many Rishonim understand. However, there is a group of Rishonim that understand that this pasuk is not coming to teach us a din d'oraita, a biblical prohibition not to do commerce and business with non-kosher animals, but really it's only an issur d'rabbanan. And the fact that the pasuk says v'sheket yihyu lachem, and the fact that the Gemara understands from here that there's a prohibition of doing commerce with non-kosher animals is only an asmachta. It's only coming to hint, to teach. It's a mnemonic. It's a device warning us and reminding us not to do business, but not that it's prohibited mid-d'oraita. So let's take a closer look at the Torah of the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, a contemporary poskim and achronim who address the issues, the questions that relate to doing business with Dvar Masurim. So the first order of business and what the Mechaber paskins based upon a Mishnah in Maseches Shviyos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel, is Kol Davar She'asim in HaTorah Im Hu Davar HaMiyuchad L'Ma'achal Asur Lafsos Boschora. Rule number one is that the prohibition of doing business and commerce with non-kosher animals is limited to animals that are prohibited biblically. So we're talking about shellfish, non-kosher meat, non-kosher chicken, poultry, and the like. That is what the prohibition, they have a yasan yiyu, the prohibition of doing business and commerce with non-kosher animals is limited to animals that are prohibited biblically, those that are explicit in the Torah and the Pasuk. However, the Mechaber continues, b'chol davar she'ein yisro ela midireyem, mutar lasos bo schora. If there's any form of food that is only prohibited rabbinically, that's permitted to do business with. For example, pas akum, bishul akum, food that's cooked by a non-Jew, that's usher only rabbinically, not biblically. Pas akum, bread that is baked by a non-Jew, a pas palter or pas akum, or particularly bread that is made by a non-Jew in a non-Jew's home, that is only prohibited rabbinically to eat. And all forms of isurei derabbanan, when it comes to food, those are permitted one to do business with that. So really, we have limited this halacha. The halacha has limited the prohibition significantly in teaching that one is only prohibited to do business and commerce and give gifts of non-kosher animals and foods only when it comes to those that are explicit, those that are asur midiraisa. But what's the reason? And why indeed does the Torah asur us and prohibit us from doing business with these animals? So the Shach here in Siman Kuf Yizayin, Fifth Cut and Aleph, tells us two basic reasons as to why indeed this prohibition exists. The first reason, says the Shach, is because we're concerned. If you're doing business and commerce with these non-kosher animals, maybe indeed you will come to eat it. So therefore, the Torah comes to restrain us and comes to help us, and the Torah itself builds a fence to teach us not to do business and commerce with these prohibited animals, because it turns out you might come to eat it. The Shach says, therefore, if it comes to any animals and fats and the like that are being sold in the form of cosmetics and things like that, then it's absolutely permitted, because there's no iser that we know that nobody's going to come to eat, drink cosmetics, and therefore will be permitted to do business when it comes to cosmetics whose base is animal, etc. The Shach says a second reason. We're not talking about Otu Berishya Eskinan, says the Shach. We're not talking about individuals who are really coming to do things that are prohibited. We're not concerned that Jews are going to come to eat non-kosher. The reason that it's usher to do business and commerce with non-kosher animals is because of Maris Ayin. We're concerned that if somebody sees a Jew doing business with non-kosher animals, maybe they'll say that the person is going to come to eat it. And therefore, that's the reason, says the Shach, why it's usher to do business with non-kosher animals. The Shach extends and explains, based upon this, that if you're selling animals and trading animals, that where there's no concern of Maris Ayin, be permitted. For example, you own a pet store, so that's not a problem, because of course you're not going to come to suspect somebody that since he's selling non-kosher animals that he's going to come to eat them, therefore there's no concern. Similarly, if you're trading horses, you sell horses in Montana for horse racing, so again, the likelihood of an individual suspecting you of coming to eat it is slim to none, and therefore that would be permitted as well. So those are the two reasons that the Shach says that it's usur, and ultimately those would be the two exceptions if there is no chash, there's no concern that somebody's going to come to eat to the type of thing that you're selling, number one, and number two, if there's no concern of Maris Ayin, of suspicion at all in the type of animal that you're trading, there's no problem whatsoever. A question that's a contemporary question is, what about owning stock in non-kosher restaurants and non-kosher formulas and the like, McDonald's and such? So the first thing that one has to be aware of course, is that goes back to our original limitation. We're only talking about something that's asur midiraisa. So you have to be talking about a stock that is dealing in isurei diraisa. However, Moshe Sturmbach in his Shuas Hanhagos, as well as a number of other contemporary postmen, said that there's no problem in owning stock of non-kosher meat and animals midiraisa, in cases where you are a minority shareholder. Well, most of the circumstances, most of the people that we're dealing with are probably minority stock shareholders. And that circumstance, since you're not a player in terms of decision making in that particular company, therefore it's not considered that you are enough of an owner to be concerned. And furthermore, you're not going to come to eat it. There's no chash of Maris Ayin as well. So therefore, the two reasons that the Shach says that it's usur to trade and to do commerce and business with a non-kosher would not apply when it comes to owning stock. So therefore, it would be permitted. There are two other very common and practical questions that emerge. Number one, is it permitted to buy non-kosher for your employees? They're doing a good job. There's a business meeting. Can you buy non-kosher for them, number one? Number two, can you give a gift of non-kosher animals and the foods that come as a result? So this the Ramah addresses immediately in his gloss to Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Yizayin, and the Ramah writes, "Vafilu l'knoso l'hachilo l'po'alav obi kochavim asur." Even to purchase non-kosher food, biblical food, midiraisa food, to give it to your workers, to your employees, is absolutely prohibited. The Ramah quotes the Beis Yosef from the Hagos Maimonios and says that it's asur. However, the Shach argues, and the Shach says that the Ramah's source in the Beis Yosef from the Hagos Maimonios is not an accurate source, and as a result, the Shach here in Sif Katan Gimel, the Siman Kuf Yud Zayin, says that you're absolutely permitted to purchase non-kosher food and give it to your employee. Really, what's prohibited is to give a gift of non-kosher to your employee, because giving a gift, matana habekemecher, giving a present as is if you're doing business, so therefore, to give a present to your employee, to your worker, of non-kosher food, isur d'oraisa dika food, of course, as we're always referring to, that would be prohibited. But when it comes to giving food to your non-Jewish employee, that would be permitted according to the Shach. So what emerges is that there's a machlokas between the Shach and the Ramah when it comes to giving food to your non-kosher food, midiraisa, non-kosher food to your employee. According to the Ramah, it's asur. According to the Shach, it's mutter. However, according to all opinions, and we pass them like the Shach, to give a matana, to give a present to your employee, to a friend, to a colleague, to a neighbor, to the non-Jewish bus driver, that would be prohibited. And as a result, what emerges from here also is to give a gift certificate to a non-kosher restaurant, to a employee, to a colleague, to a friend, to a neighbor, would be equivalent. If it's not kosher, so what's the difference if you're giving a not kosher ham sandwich or a not kosher gift certificate to the ham and cheese store? So it would be prohibited. However, when it comes to giving a gift certificate to a supermarket and places of such where you can buy kosher and non-kosher, there, you're giving it to your non-Jewish employee. You're not giving the gift certificate and telling him, go to the non-kosher deli and pick up not-kosher meat and ham. You're simply giving him a gift certificate, and he or she will choose whatever they so desire and so are interested in purchasing. And as a result, that situation would indeed be permitted. So what also is an interesting question, what has to be discussed, is the inverse. Now, we know that it's prohibited now to give a gift of non-kosher gift certificates to a non-Jew. But what about the opposite? Let's say you're working and it's, the busy holiday season, and you receive and you pick up an item that you receive as a gift to a non-kosher restaurant. Or you get something that could theoretically and potentially be returned. Are you required to throw it out? Do you have to get rid of it? Could you re-gift it? Could you give it to somebody else? Or are you stuck and you're unable to take advantage of that gift that you were given? What's the status of that situation? It's quite common. Mechaber addresses this, and Mechaber says that if a hunter is trapping and is looking for animals, that was a common business, and the Mechaber says, "Nizdamnu l'tzayir chayev ha'of dugim tmeim." Let's say the hunter, the Jewish hunter, is searching and is looking to capture some animals, and he into his net comes not kosher animals or not kosher fish. Mutar l'machrom, you're permitted to sell them, the not kosher animal, the not kosher fish, ubilvad shelo yiskavim lekach, as long as your intent is not to trap and to acquire not kosher meat or not kosher fish when you're trapping, it's absolutely permitted. Rabbi Akiva in his Chidushim here comments and says that from here you see a source quoting the Chulas Shai Lamora, that if a Jew is a recipient of a gift from a non-Jew, davar tame, something that's usur, mutar l'kabel menu, it's permitted to take it from the non-Jew, ulamachro, and to ultimately resell it or to re-gift it. Dehave kmo nizdamein, it's as if it just fell into your lap, as if it fell into your trap, as if it fell into the hunter's capture. So what should be the difference if a hunter is permitted to take advantage of the non-kosher animal that he got hold of and to resell it, as long as he didn't have intent to specifically trap or catch the non-kosher animal? The same thing is true if you're at your office and, a client or a boss or a particular vendor gives you something that's non-kosher, chocolate and the like. In that situation, according to Rabbi Akiva, you'd be absolutely permitted to re-gift it, to sell it, to trade it in, or to sell it at a lower value in order to take advantage of that item that you receive. That's when it comes to gift. However, the more common question, that's the question that we're going to discuss now, is wine. Wine is one of the most common gift items that many receive, certainly in the workplace. And is the same thing true that one is permitted to re-gift a bottle of wine that you receive as a gift? Now, bottles of wine can go anywhere from $10 to $15 to $20 to $100, $300, and $500. Sometimes a person can receive a case of not kosher wine. It's sometimes worth hundreds or hundreds of dollars. So are you similarly able to rely on the heter of Rabbi Akiva Eiger? They could re-gift it or to resell it or to get rid of it or to give it to your secretary? Or is there another rule when it comes to wine? So we're all familiar that there's a halacha, there's a din called Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach is yayin that was used for libation of Avodah Zarah. That we don't have today, but we do have today something called Stam Yenim. Standard, regular wine. Now, regular wine that is not kosher, that was made by a non-Jew, is usur. The Shach again tells us that there are two reasons why it's also. One is because we're concerned that it's going to lead us to intermarriage if we're going to be involved in drinking not kosher wine. Therefore, the Chazal asked and said, even stam yenim, even wine that was not used for wine libations for Avodah Zarah, is still going to be awesome. Another reason that Chazal said is because it's a gzeira, maybe will come to use Avodah Zarah. Maybe this wine will lead to be misnaseh la'avodah zarah. Those are the two reasons why it's prohibited to use today yayin netzach. However, what's important to note here is that the Mechaber says that it's asur b'hana, it's prohibited to get any benefit from stam yenim, as opposed to the not kosher meat and fish that we've been discussing in Siman Kuf Yud Zayin. Here the Mechaber says when it comes to wine, it's asur b'hana, when it's prohibited from benefit any at all, any wine at all. The Ramah, commenting on the Mechaber, says, b'zman hazeh, contemporarily, today we know that this is not common in the Western countries, that anybody is using wine for libations or any form of Avodah Zarah. Yesh omrim, there are those who say that it's not asur behana, it's only prohibited to drink it. And that's the opinion that the Ramah seems to indicate, stam yein shenohem, eino asur henos memeno, it's not prohibited to benefit from non-kosher wine. I could even collect a debt from a non-Jew in wine. I'm saving it from that. Therefore, according to Ramah, it would seem to be that it would be permitted to receive and to take and to benefit from non-kosher wine, to sell it, to re-gift it, or to give it to a secretary. However, the Ramah concludes and says, L'chatchila asr. L'chatchila, it shouldn't be done. However, yesh mekilim gam bezman hazeh, v'tov l'achmir, even though there are those who are lenient, nonetheless, it is good to be machmir. The Chachmas Adam, Rav Avram Danzig, commenting here in his commentary on in Hilchot Yayin Netzach and Yerbeah, takes a very strong approach, and he says, indeed, that it's prohibited, that it's the usur to take advantage of non-kosher wine that you received as a gift. So, of course, you're dealing with a pretty heavy question here, the Isur Hana. You're dealing with bottles that are valuable and bottles of wine that are expensive. You're dealing with a question of hundreds of dollars worth of wine. I would suggest that this is a serious question, should be brought to the attention of your Rav, if you do find yourself in a situation where you are in receipt of a particular gift of wine. Of course, if it's an inexpensive bottle, I would highly suggest that a person does not get any hana and leave it somewhere and don't give it to anybody, because when you give it to an employee, to a secretary, to a friend, you are getting hana, you're benefiting it, because the fact that you're giving a gift that has value, matana kemecher, and ultimately you hope that there will be some sense of reciprocity, somebody will benefit you and do you a favor. So it really should just be gotten rid of completely. When you're dealing with a major hefsed, that's a question that should be addressed. My sense is that the majority of contemporary posts can take a stronger stand when it comes to stam yenim, and would highly suggest that one does not take advantage and does not use it, as opposed to when it comes to receiving a gift of food. That's us from the Raisa, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, based upon the Pesach of the Mechaber and Siman Kuf Yud Zayin, it would be indeed permitted to get take advantage of it in that situation because it's considered to be nizamim. So just to review, the areas that we discussed this evening in terms of doing business and commerce with non-kosher animals and non-kosher food on a biblical level is prohibited, on a rabbinic level is absolutely permitted. Therefore, the Shach says that when it comes to gifting and giving a gift of non-kosher animals or non-kosher food that are prohibited biblically, that's also usur. When it comes to giving an employee a food for them, when it's not a gift, but you're feeding them, in that situation, that's subject to a machlokas between the Shach and the Ramah. The Ramah says it's usur, and the Shach says that it's mutter. When it comes to owning shares of stock in non-kosher, that we said is permitted because the concern of you coming to eat it and the concern of Maris Ayin don't exist, as well as the contemporary postkin who point out that when you're an owner in a stock, that because you're a minority stockholder, you don't have enough of a say, and therefore, as a result, it's going to be permitted. Furthermore, we also pointed out that when it comes to receiving, you can rely on the heter of Rabbi Akiva Eiger in a situation where you received an expense, where you received a gift of a non-Jew, and you could resell it and re-gift it. However, when it comes to yayin, stam yenim, non-kosher wine, one should be stringent according to the opinion of the Ramah most positively, and certainly according to Chachmas Adam as well. It is not something that should be done. Have a wonderful evening.